Welcome to Shattering Myths, the program devoted to the largest segment of society, to those of you who know that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive. I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to participate anytime over the next 2 hours, 877-300-7645. I was intrigued by the brief comments as the news was playing about this being the first time now, after a series of some 20 police killings that have been videotaped, that the police officer is actually going to be tried and has been indicted on murder charges. Charleston, South Carolina. And I'm intrigued by this because I think it speaks to one of the greatest threats to America. A threat to America that's irresolvable, but that is going to play an enormous role in the demise of the nation as we know it. We've talked about it a lot on this program. That's the belligerence of the police, turning police into pseudo-military units, having no distinction between the Justice Department and the FBI, and the FBI and the long list of alphabet soup federal agents that prowl the country, armed to the teeth. And then virtually no distinction between the federal agents and local and state police. All in cahoots together, all willing to do as we found that the military is doing. You know, they war departments, the war colleges' review of the U.S. military determined that the culture is inundated with deception, and that from enlisted men and women all the way up to the most senior officers, lies are more prevalent than the truth. That the military will use deception and lies to justify egregious behavior, and that they will lie to cover their tracks on the things that they have done. And when you recognize that both with the national policing forces and with the military, considering how heavily they are armed, how powerful they are, this attitude of outright dishonesty and belligerence, and a sense that no matter what they break, no matter who they kill, they're justified in doing so. And the nation goes on the sideline and waves the flag and cheers for them, as is happening now for this murderer in South Carolina. You know that the end is near. We as a nation are now cheering murderous and destructive behavior by those who are overtly duplicitous and dishonest, by those our tax dollars have empowered with deadly weapons, while our government, in direct conflict with its own constitution, is reining in the kinds of arms that Americans can keep and bear. So this is an important story. One of the issues, and I've talked all around it here just in the last moment or two, is that a disproportionate number of police officers and of federal agents are coming out of the military, where they have been conditioned to lie, where they have been conditioned to kill, where they have been indoctrinated to devalue life and to assert their dominance. And so the police are scary. I mean, if I had to confront someone in a dark alley, I'd much rather it be a civilian, even a criminal, than it would be a cop. They're scary. They're belligerent. They are draconian. And this notion that they think they have the right, and society seems to justify it, where if you've done nothing wrong, but a police officer wants to pull you over and wants to arrest you and you have done nothing, that they can pull out their guns at you, put their fingers on the trigger, shout at you, tell you to rob you of your freedoms, tell you you have to stop where you're going, that you have to put your hands in the air, then you have to lay face down on the ground, that you've got to sprawl with your nose in the dirt, all while being demeaned, all while having your freedoms usurped for having done nothing, while they point guns at you. And we've given up that freedom. And it's very, very seldom that a cop is held accountable. The worst I have ever seen is the young boy in Cleveland, where two cops pulled up at high speed on the grass of a park near a carousel where the kid was playing by himself, no one within 100 yards of him, maybe even further. This kid, if he had a real gun, couldn't have hit anybody. He couldn't have hit a squirrel. He was totally harmless where he was. All the police had to do was pull 100 yards away from him and talk to him and say, could you please set down the gun? And of course, it was a toy. But what did they do? No, high speed. They came within 10 feet of him. And within 2 seconds of the time that they approached, the boy was dead. And the police officers exonerated. That is not an America that I want to live in. The man who had stopped a fight in New York City had done nothing wrong, yet the police applied a chokehold to him and they killed him while he said with a ever quieter voice as he lost his ability to breathe and therefore to speak, I can't breathe. And yet, the murderer, the killer, was exonerated. In Los Angeles, we've had 2 videotaped murders where mentally handicapped boys were killed by the police, where the police said, well, he was going for my gun. Well, they were unarmed. And so the police's only excuse was, they were going for my gun. If you didn't have a gun, they wouldn't go for it, would they? And, of course, they lie. And jurors, for some unknown reason, have a tendency to believe the testimony of the Department of Justice and police officers, even though it has been found time and time again to be dishonest, staged, faked. There was a case here recently, this past week, where a man that was incarcerated on death row for 30 years. Can you imagine a jury convicted him to death because of the death of a person in a fast food restaurant based solely on one thing? And that was the ballistics testimony of the Department of Justice. And the fact that as a poor man, this man relying on public defenders only had $1,000 to refute their testimony, and $1,000 wouldn't buy a credible response. And the Department of Justice, knowing they didn't have a credible opponent to refute them, deliberately deceived the jury about the match of the bullet casings, saying that they came from the man who spent 30 years on death row's gun. They lied to the jury. And the jury, based solely on dishonest testimony of bullet casings, convicted the man to die. And when it was pointed out to the justice system, whatever state that was, and it's federal because it's a murder charge, that the bullet casings did not match, that the Department of Justice deceived, the Department of Justice wouldn't consider the case. They wouldn't open it up. They were unwilling to do the right thing finally he got great representation. There are charities out there that represent innocent individuals, wrongly convicted. They paid to have the ballistics tested. And lo and behold, they absolutely do not match the gun that was owned by the man who had now spent 30 years on death row. And it happens over and over again. There are thousands of people who have either been killed or imprisoned for decades based upon hair and fiber analysis by the Department of Justice and the FBI and their crime lab, all of which was fabricated. This is the America that exists today. And yet in South Carolina today, after the policeman, a white officer, was caught on video murdering a 50-year-old black man who was fleeing from him, who was running away from him, and he thought he was justified in shooting the man that was running away from him. He was so entitled that he thought he would be justified in shooting a man that was running away from him, fleeing arrest. Now, I tell you what, I'm going to resist arrest. I despise them. I disrespect them. This man was doing what anybody with a conscience would do. Wanted nothing to do with these police officers. He's pulled over for a traffic violation. And for leaving after the policeman had pulled him over for a traffic violation, the cop thought he was entitled to shoot him in the back and kill him. And it's all caught on video. Now, if it wasn't caught on video, that cop would have lied through his teeth and said, oh, yeah, he was reaching for my gun, you know it. He was trying to attack me. But the video wouldn't allow it. But what in the world is wrong with you, those South Carolinians that are going to rally behind this murderer? Why? Because he's white? Because the victim is black? Because you're racist? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with America? It's lost its conscience. Lost the ability to be just, to be moral, to be fair, to be right. We'll be back in a moment. Reuters article reads, activist planned a protest in South Carolina on Wednesday after a white police officer was caught on video fatally shooting a 50-year-old black man in the back as he ran away following his traffic stop. I mean, I don't even care if you don't want to call it murder. There is no way to justify that. None. There is no way to justify Wilson murdering Brown in Ferguson. None. I mean, yeah, I understand that the boy did some stupid stuff, but it ought never have escalated to his death.
If it's not murder,
we need to redefine murder, don't we?
We do.
When you lift a gun to shoot somebody in the back that is running away from you, whose only crime to that point is they did not like the way your attitude towards them as they pulled you over for a traffic stop and are trying to get away from you. That's their crime. And you shoot them in the back and you kill them. Man, if that ain't murder, we need to redefine the term. How could you be threatened? How could you be protecting your life? How could you be doing your job when you shoot an unarmed man in the back?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be murder. I mean, you can't. It's not like they don't know what their weapons are capable of, and they're aiming to shoot people in center mass. They're not trying to, you know.
Right.
I understand there, that
when an officer is trained to shoot, he's trained to kill.
I mean, if you shot him in the leg and he accidentally hit, you know, he hit the artery in the leg.
If he's running away and he's unarmed, why even shoot him in the leg?
You shouldn't even shoot anyway.
No.
Just let him go and
let him go.
Catch him later.
Right.
Call for backup. Whatever happens,
yes.
Call him for backup. What is
yes.
it with the Tamir Rice situation? What is it where?
Yes.
The
young man. I mean, yeah. There are 1,000 things that could have been done. The simplest of which is simply to have a officer stand 100 yards away from you, what do you think the odds are that a young boy, if that had been a real gun, could have held the gun steady without recoil and shot and killed a man 100 yards away from him with a pistol?
The odds are pretty slim.
Yeah, like one in a billion?
Maybe.
And for a kid's life, wouldn't you expect that somebody would have, and particularly wearing a vest, a bulletproof vest, that you don't think that somebody would say, I'll go to 50 yards, because then it's one in a million. I'll wear a body armor so that the likelihood of them shooting me between the eyes and killing me is back to one in a billion. And I'll go to 50 yards where I can talk to the young man and say, hello, young man. My name is so-and-so, so-and-so.
Officer,
I'm Officer Yada. How are you today, young man? We've had some complaints here that you're scaring some folks. I understand that's just a toy gun there. Even if you don't know. But I'd really appreciate if you could set it down so that we can sit down and have a little talk. Okay. Everybody lives. But to pull up with your gun out of your holster already, with the express intent of killing him, and he's dead within less than 20 seconds or 2 seconds of the time that your car comes to a screeching stop, it's murder. You choke a man to death that's done nothing wrong, it's murder. You shoot a mentally handicapped child on the street, it's murder. This is murder. The officer has been charged with murder, and the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department are investigating the shooting, the latest in a series of incidents that have raised questions about U.S. police and race relations. The issue has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with the attitude of America, with its collective lack of morality, with people's inability to be moral, to exercise good judgment, to do the right thing, to be thoughtful, to use their words. In this program, one of the things I constantly say as we criticize political schemes and religious schemes and military schemes is that there is no solution in bullets and bombs. I don't want anyone listening to this program to ever be violent, ever, under any circumstances. I've never been violent. And I don't want anyone listening to this program to be violent. There is a means to be vastly more effective than violence. Use your words. Come to know the truth. Tell the truth. Make the connections. Transition, as Glenn said, and we'll be with Glenn when we return after the break. From ignorance to knowing. From knowing to understanding. From understanding to wisdom. And use your words. What we would tell our children as they were growing up. Let's not throw a temper tantrum. Let's not respond violently. Ever. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Civil rights leaders, as we've heard, have called for calm. But the folks are praising the courage of the witness who filmed the killing and gave the video to the victim's father, Walter Scott. Quote, when I saw it, I fell to my feet and my heart was broken. Scott's father said on the NBC's Today Show, without the video, it would never have come to light. They would have swept it under the rug, just like they have done with so many others. End quote. He's right. Hello, Glenn. Let me activate the switchboard here, and I can be quasi-professional for a second and actually make certain that you're live. Another tragedy. It is, collectively, we're losing as a society.
Oh, well, yes. And I think we'll lose more. I just picture, part of the reason that I thought the call was, I think it's Scott said something about, shooting somebody in the leg or a lesser shot or warning. That notion is purely myth, especially when you're dealing with handguns. It basically, the reason they're trained to shoot center of mass, it isn't right. Because you're trying to kill them. Is you want to hit the person you're shooting at, and not have it ricocheting all over. Right.
And that goes to my issue about the young boy in Cleveland that was murdered by the cop. If you're 50 steps away from the kid,
mm-hmm.
the odds of him being able to hit you and cause a fatal injury, is one in a million.
Right.
If you're 50 yards away, and if you're wearing a bulletproof vest, it's probably one in a billion. I mean, it's
right.
You probably shot handguns. Have you ever shot handguns?
Yes, I own handguns.
Okay, I've shot handguns. I own handguns. I've never shot a handgun at somebody. I've never held a handgun at somebody. I've used handguns only to shoot tin cans off logs, and I like to shoot fruit too. Fruit's kind of fun when you shoot it. But then I'll shoot targets. But that's really all I'll do with it.
I used to shoot 22s. We had an intramural rifle club in my high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, they won't do that anymore. They won't do that anymore. Yeah, I learned to shoot at boys' camps too when I was growing up. And I always just thought of riflery as being a learned skill that I never thought of it for any purpose other than it was fun to learn, and like so many skills that you could ultimately master. I think it's fun. It's a fun thing to do actually with your sons in my case, and even with taking my niece out. And, to shoot tin cans off a log is kind of a fun thing to do. But your point is valid, that you're with a handgun, because it has such a short barrel, and because the shorter the barrel, the more the recoil is going to affect the gun, and the shorter your sight line, that a handgun, your likelihood of hitting a target, if you're not extraordinarily trained in it and haven't trained daily at it, at more than 50 paces is abysmal.
Well, I wanted to make the distinction. Number one, I can't picture the idea of a high school paying a teacher a little overtime to take kids out with rifles. So that would not happen today. But with a rifle at 50 yards, I could easily put, the rounds in a half-dollar size black, circle.
Of course, yes.
However, when I went to Enormous State University and I took the indoor, pistol course, which they had at Enormous State University in the 70s, which I'm relatively sure is probably gone by now.
Oh, of course, yes.
We had the indoor range and the mechanical carriers would carry the target.
Sure,
and
yes.
I was so bad when I started, at two different times, because the recoil of this like 22, the bullet went up under the little shield for the clip and blew the clip off, and the paper target went flying down. In other words, that shows you the difference. It's like, wow, I really stunk at that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's a shame that so many people, I was thinking that cop, who shot the guy, I picture that as being like just a matter of ego. It's like,
ego.
How dare you run from
exactly.
me? How dare
exactly.
you defy me? You take that, you blankety blank, blam blam.
Yeah, I think it's Wilson was the same thing in Ferguson. Is that, well, I do think that Brown aggravated his own killing by actually doing what the cop said he did, which was trying to reach for the gun and then running back to Brown. It was only because of Brown's ego that they were in that situation. If Brown, when he spotted him, had called for, and he did, I guess, called for backup, but waited for the backup and not right. drawn his weapon and had the weapon as a third or fourth option after pepper gun spray and pepper gun bullets and all of that sort of thing, everybody would be alive today. And it just cops are getting their machismo and this military ego in their way.
Well, did you hear about the guy who jumped up on the hood of the car and fired a bunch of rounds into the two people? I mean, the officers collectively unloaded over I think 100 rounds or something, or into this car. I mean, it was just and then this guy. This cop jumps up on the hood and blam 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 shoots two people, and he was charged with murder. I heard. The story with the guy who hops out of the car and shoots the little kid, 2 seconds after hopping out of the car. I mean, that's just insanity too. It's like, oh, good, good, I get to shoot someone. If you're that much of a wimp or that much of a psycho, please don't become a peace officer.
Yeah. Here's a couple of quotes on this thing. It says, it goes to the nature of power itself. That's right. We can talk about that. This was a cop who felt like he could get away with the shooting somebody many times in the back. And that's important. It speaks to the value of human life. No, it does not speak to the value of human life. But it does speak to the issues of power and how somebody with a badge and it's given is paid to carry a firearm provided and bullets provided by the state thinks that they're entitled to demand that people do whatever they told them to do. I remember the woman, she's still alive, but she was a fairly hefty, very out of shape professor, an African American female professor in a southern university. And she was simply walking across the street. And the cop told her to stop and demanded that she go to the Spread Eagle deal. She said, "Come on, I'm wearing a dress. I'm a professor. I am unarmed. I've done nothing wrong. No, I'm not going to be harassed that way." And the cop continued to demand that she lay prone and finally got very physical with her and wrestled her to the ground. This notion that cops have the right, without you having done anything wrong, to lord over people this way, to badger them in this way, to rob them of their freedoms in this way. And then if they refuse to let the cops run roughshod over them, then the cops are justified in shooting them. It just goes to the whole nature of power, and it goes to the whole nature of that they thought they could get away with it because they would lie themselves out of it.
Right. Wow. The whole violence thing is just crazy. I mean, it was, in the 60s and 70s, it was kind of conventional wisdom that, you know, a cop could, you know, work an entire career to retirement, you know, without having to draw his service revolver, or maybe only having to draw it once or twice, or maybe never even have to fire. And there was tough stuff in the world back then, too. And here in Philadelphia, we had the Frank Rizzo administration police brutality issue at the time that made Time magazine and everything. Yeah. And the brutality by that standard was nothing compared to what we see.
U.S.
today.
Infantry in World War II. The majority of the U.S. infantry in World War II never fired a shot.
Right.
And
right.
So they were indoctrinated. And in the U.S. war colleges were indoctrinated to devalue, to demean their foe, to the point where in Iraq and Afghanistan, when a new infantryman would arrive, they were badgered until they got their first kill.
Wow, that's bad.
So. That's the mentality that's going on. We to survive, we have to do lots of things, and we're not going to survive. But one of the things is we have to de-weaponize police, and we have to re-educate police to begin to use words and not deadly force. And the deadly force not only ought to be the last resort, but if you have to use deadly force, then you lose your opportunity to work as a cop again. That means that you've attempted everything up to that you were incapable of resolving an issue in such a way that you took another person's life. Now, there may be a few exceptions of where you're dealing with somebody that's holding a gun to somebody's head, but they're few and far between.
Right.
And even in those situations, you know, you can't use a handgun to shoot somebody under those circumstances because you're just as likely to kill the victim. But there are very few circumstances where a cop can use deadly force, and they're really justified in doing so.
Especially without even calling, never even making a call for backup or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
in the Brown case, that he should, I mean, I think Brown is a creep, but he ought not be dead. And the Tamir Rice case, there is nothing about that is appropriate. In the case of the man in New York City that said, "I can't breathe," because he was the victim of the chokehold, no justification for any of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of this stuff. There's no justification, you know. So, and the thing is, I almost feel like, you know, the police are being set up. Like it's like they're encouraged. This sort of behavior is almost being encouraged, which to create a backlash, which will be, you know, even greater. Then you'll have major league civil strife.
Yeah, so
one of the reasons for, you know, thin blue line being a cooling influence in society is to prevent all this upheaval. Not create it.
Yeah, well, they're creating it. This video shows a brief scuffle between the pair, and that's because the cops are overtly belligerent. I mean, there's in this country almost every day, there's a traffic stop that ends with a cop shooting, and in this case, the cop was belligerent, and so there's a scuffle between Scott and the officer, and then Scott begins to run away. And then the officer is seen on video taking direct aim at him with a handgun and then shooting him 8 times in the back.
Hmm.
It makes you want to vomit.
Yeah, that's just murder.
It's just murder. It just makes you want to vomit. According to a police report, the officer said that Scott had taken his stun gun from him. Let's just say he had. So what? He's running away.
Running away with it, right.
So what? He's running away. In this video, we see the officer, Slagger, the murderer, forcing the victim into handcuffs. So he's handcuffed. Hands are behind his back. And he's lying on the ground, which I think is should be outlawed. You should not allow a cop to take a man who is, we're talking about pulled over for a traffic violation. I mean, I understand it if you've arrested a man that was holding a weapon and had threatened or had killed somebody. To have them lay on the ground and put handcuffs on them. But this tendency for cops to pull up and demand that an individual lay belly flat out, nose in the ground, and then handcuff them from behind while they hold guns at them and yell at them is incredibly inappropriate. Just absolutely disgusting. That's what this officer, Slagger, did to Scott. He made him lay on the ground for a traffic offense. And then handcuffed him in the back. And then when the man tries to, the officer stepped back and Wilson got up, or Scott, excuse me, Scott got up. And started to run away. His hands are tied behind his back with handcuffs, and he's trying to run away from this jerk of an officer. And the officer unloads with him running away with his hands cuffed behind his back. The officer unloads 8 rounds into his back as he is running away. And then the officer, to create a plausible scenario, is shown on the video walking to the man he's just killed. Dropping something by him, and then walking back, which obviously is the stun gun.
Yeah, it's just kind of similar to using a throwaway piece, you know, to plant. But the, it's the same impulse, but same motivation. But the, it was very unwise of him to run, that's true. But I mean, this idea of handcuffing people, like I actually can understand when the police will have somebody walk to the back of the car and put cuffs on them while they inspect the car for weapons or something like that, you know. And if they release them, you know, if they determine.
But you know, if it's a traffic violation, you don't have any right to do that. You should not have a right to do that.
Well,
you shouldn't have a right to do it. And there's nothing wrong with a person carrying a weapon according to the U.S. Constitution. This belligerence is just ridiculous. Now, Scott wasn't an angel. According to the report, Scott had a warrant out for his arrest from child custody court. Now, in the child custody court, you can be an individual that some judge has determined that you need to pay some more money for child support than you make. And you know, Scott may not have been able to pay as much as the court demanded. And that would have caused the court just to issue a warrant for his arrest. Maybe no fault of Scott. Maybe Scott was making bazillions and didn't like the way that the woman was spending the money on herself and not the kid. Who knows? But his great crime was that he had a warrant out for his arrest for child support payments.
Well, the very existence of those family courts was an unconstitutional aberration in the first place.
I agree.
But the police, you know, this whole idea of them being so rough and violent is just very silly. I would not have run. You know, personally, I think it was very foolish of him to run. But you know, it's just this impulse to violence, like you say, it's just mad. But anyway, I was something specific I was going to say about
this. Slagger the cop has a pregnant wife, and he was a member of the Coast Guard, so came out of pseudo-military unit. But that man needs to spend a very long time in prison for murder.
Yeah.
And an example needs to be made such that cops don't try to stage a crime scene by pretending that somebody stole something, a stun gun, and that they were justified in shooting a man 8 times in the back as he's trying to flee them.
Well, thank you. That's what I was trying to say. If we don't, if justice is not served, you know,
right.
You run several risks. You run the risk of what you said, them being affirmed, and you run the risk of vigilantism if the courts don't do justice.
That is correct. Oh, yeah, it's a complete breakdown of the American justice system, because America doesn't have a justice system anymore. We have a legal system, and the legal system is not just. It doesn't even seek to be just. The very fact we call it a justice system is a misnomer. And its laws are made to deprive you of freedom.